Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here.
Please are my soul.
Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible.
Let us just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful to be in your house once again, Father. We take every meeting that we can get, Father, with you, precious Father. Lord, we want to meet with you tonight, Father. I pray, Lord, that everything that's said and done, Father, will be according to your word, and open our mouths to the things that we should say and those that we shouldn't, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would close our mouths, Father. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for the past weeks and months, Father, until as we approach communion, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just help cleanse us now. We place everything under the blood now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you in advance, Father, for everything that you will do for us through your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We got a short one tonight, so we'll be in and out. I told Brian he could have finished his sermon. There's just no way I could do a dual part on the last part. So this is the last one before we get to the capstone, which is love. And I don't even know if it's even possible to get that into one sermon, so it may be two. But that's the best. That's the part to come. Amen? And this is Stature of the Perfect Man, part four, and this is Brotherly Kindness. In 2 Peter 1, 4 through 10, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I am going to try to break that down, because this verse of scripture keep hitting me. It's kind of an odd statement at the end. Having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. So there are, believe it or not, there might be, I hate to even say it, but it's actually in the Bible because I had to start studying it this morning. There's actually a good part of the lust. And that is what God seeks in his bride, is a full devotion to him, to his word. And anything short of full commitment, you know, as a young man or woman, when you're going to get married, there is that human element of the lust, but this is the spiritual part where it's driving. It's a desire to serve him. So, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. It is very important to be knowledgeable and to bear fruit in this time, because as Brother Branham described with the moons and stuff, there's only this little bit of light and it only comes from his bride. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Isn't that a type of today? They lack these things, and they're blind, and they cannot see the future. Was everybody here last Sunday? Okay, good. If you weren't, go back and listen to that sermon. The Holy Ghost was here, 100%, like I've never probably seen in this church before. So it'll still be available on that tape. Go back and listen to it again and again. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Amen? Brotherly kindness. And from the Strong's Concordance, kindness is a noun, and it's from kind, an objective. It's goodwill, benevolence, that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully. God likes a cheerful person, doesn't he? Cheerful and being able to distribute what you have to the world that's around you. In gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, or alleviating their distress. Benignity of nature, kindness ever accompanies love, which is the last statue of the perfect man on as the capstone. Brother Branham says, somebody said not long ago, how can you believe these things the way you do and still go to the assemblies of God and to the oneness and all the rest? Then put, see brotherly kindness, see hoping someday, see patient with him, see temperate, enduring with him, knowledge to understand what he believes. Remember, it's in his heart. That's what it is. Virtue in yourself to let it go out with kindness. Meekness to have him, having faith that someday God will bring him in. See? So we don't go cast them people out. We want to see them saved. And if you ever find yourself around an unbeliever or a nominal Christian, and you just count them as cannon fodder right off the bat just because their outward appearance may be different from yours, or they don't have every box checked, brother, you are missing something in your life. And now, Brother Branham goes on to say, and that's from the Statue of a Perfect Man, and now we've put the blood of Jesus Christ in, see? And that brings the faith of Jesus Christ, the virtue of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the temperance of Jesus Christ, the patience of Jesus Christ, and the godliness of Jesus Christ, and once again, the brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ, and the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. He's the head and controls you, and your feet is the foundation, and that's faith, amen? Controlled by the head, takes, there you are. There is the perfect man of God when he possesses these virtues. Then God representing his church as a bride, a woman, God representing his church as a bride, and the way he brings each individual to being his son to go in that bride, he also has brought the bride through these ages, all seven ages. Brother Branham taps on the chalkboard seven times. Till he brings this one complete church into this. The capstone. Amen? And that's from a Statue of the Perfect Man. Now, Brother Branham told the story several times, I'm sure. If you've listened to tapes, you've heard it. He talks about the bears that got into his tent and destroyed it, but they found the molasses. So this, remember this when we read this quote. Now, the honey represents brotherly love, brotherly kindness, which is this age. Brother Branham's talking about his age. I just got through telling you, see, of brotherly kindness, the age that we live in now. Now, you might say, look, I sure don't like Brother Neville, or I sure don't like Brother Jones. I don't like Brother so-and-so, and something like that. But just let something happen to him, brother. Your heart is broken. It just nearly killed you, see. We can attain brotherly kindness and feel for one another, but to maintain it in a group of people. Why do we care for that brother? Because you've broke bread with him here at the altar, as you will tonight. You fellowship with him. You shook his hands. You worship with him. He's your brother. And he might do something in the flesh that you would disagree with. Does that mean you cast it out? No, there's always redemption. There's always a chance. And it may be somebody else's job to go retrieve that brother, but don't discard them. You would disagree with him because you just kind of stay, which you oughtn't to do, but shun him a little bit. But in the bottom of your heart, if something happened to that brother, it would just nearly kill you or that sister. I'm an old man. I was once young, and now I'm old. I've seen it down through the age. Do that. Hear people say, I just won't have no more to do with him. And something happened to that man, it nearly kills him. He thinks, oh God, I let my precious brother go without making amends, friends, with him. You see, brother, it's brotherly love. It looks like it won't stick, but it does. The honey, it sticks. And if you're attractive to the people that you're around, they'll want to be around you. And you can't fake that. You can't fake when God shows up. You can't fake God in your own life. People can see right through it. If it's genuine, people will come around. The true ones will. Have you ever noticed, though, when you truly have the light, the false ones, they scatter. You know, as soon as you come around them, they leave, because that spirit cannot. It just can't be around the light of God. In Titus 3:1, Paul says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, and to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, seeking all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that," the key word here is kindness. It's the same thing as brotherly love. And I'll go on. There's one other word Brother Branham uses instead. "But after that, kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have not done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And in Colossians 3:12, Paul says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. So forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, ye also do ye." Amen. "And above all things, put on charity," love, "put on love, which is the bond of perfectness." Amen. Put on love. And it's not a filial love. We could go into that, but Brother Brian's preached that, so has Brother Vail. I don't think I will. But there's a difference. My love for my wife is not the same love that I have for God. It's totally different. In Isaiah 54:10, "For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee." I think we sing that as a song, don't we? Joel 2:12, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and render your heart, and not your garments." Amen? He don't want you to go out there and render your garments. Render your heart. "And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness." Amen. Whose image are we going for? Christ reflected his Father's image. Amen. He was our example, and so are we to reflect his image. Amen? Amen. "And of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." Brother Branham says here, notice, a mother, she can be ever so mean and cruel, but just before that baby's born, there's a certain kindness that sets in. Did you ever notice a mother when she's set to be mother? There's something sweet about her. She always takes on that sweetness. It's because that little angel, that little spirit, a little messenger to this little tabernacle is ready to come forth into the world. And then when this little angel comes into that body, that's a little angel of the earth, a spirit that's ordained of God to take this body. Then that baby has to have a choice. It makes its decision. Then when it takes place, then you see the angel of the Lord now comes in here, which is a spiritual body that's eternal. This is a dying spirit in a dying body. But now, you can't be in two bodies at one time. But there can be two natures in you at the same time. Now, the nature of the Spirit of the Lord, when you're born again, you're not born of physical like the baby was, but what happens, the spiritual birth has to come to you. And while this spiritual birth is growing in your heart of God, there is a physical or a celestial body growing to receive that Spirit. Amen. So you have two bodies. We just ain't got to the other one yet. But, and there's also two spirits in your natural body. Amen. That one that's part of him is headed toward the body that he's prepared for us. Amen. And when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. Just as when the body is present to the earth, the spirit comes in, and when the spirit goes out of that body, there is a body waiting. For we know that after this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have one already waiting. See, that's it, the spiritual body of the people. And that's from Questions and Answers in 64. Brother Branham continues, God gives mercy to those who will call for mercy. All that call for mercy shall receive mercy. Notice this harlot. She said, I'll show kindness. And to her, that was good. Same thing as brotherly kindness. I'll show kindness. Watch, she didn't have to see Joshua. She didn't know the way that he combed his hair, the clothes that he wore. She said, I have heard that God is with you. That's all she wanted to know. And I tell you today, brother, it ain't how you comb your hair or what you do or what kind of clothes you wear or what kind of PhD you got. I'll hear that God is among you. I hear that God is among you. Can you people say that about us? That's the purpose of the stature of a perfect man. That's the main thing. We want to know where God is among this. Watch the organizations. Look where they're going to. Is God among the organizations? If it is, then he's leading them straight to the Council of Churches, and you can see that. And back to the mark of the beast. God is not in that. Although it looks so good, doesn't it? We want to see our nation come back to God. We want to see President Trump restore prayer in the schoolhouse. All of that looks so good. But it's of naught. This nation's already turned, Brother Branham, this message, the voice to our generation down. God is in his word, for he is the word. That's exactly, I have heard. And faith cometh not by hearing the counsel, but the word, hearing the word. They seen this, and they knowed. She knowed it was the truth. She asked for mercy. Watch, for both her and her family. She asked for her and her family, just like they did in Egypt. And that's from the token in 63. Brother Branham goes on. Talks about the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman was persistent in the presence of Elijah. Elijah came by and blessed her and told her that she would have a son. The son got to be about 12 years old, out in the field, must have had a heat stroke or sunstroke. The woman had been very kind to Elijah. She was a Shunammite woman, and she came from the land of Shunem. And she found out, she said to her husband, being a rich man, she said, I perceive that this man that passes by here is a holy man. She said, let's do him some kindness. She said, let's build him a little room on the side of the house here, and when he comes by, and put him a little bed and a pitcher out there so he can rest himself. Then her husband said that would be very nice. So you do something to these little ones, you do it unto me. Jesus said, and that's from 63, perseverance. In 1 Peter 1:21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And John 13:33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. In 1 John 1:15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. And that word preferred, Brother Branham uses in the next few quotes. And it's the same thing as brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is you prefer your brother over yourself. You go out of your way to do that for each other. Eternal life is living for others. Amen. John said he was preferred before me, for he was before me. Amen. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Brother Branham says, Simeon, this great old saint of God, he was a man of great reputation. Oh, today they happen to say, but wait a minute, sir, I'm a businessman. I'm a doctor. I'm a professor. You're no better than anybody else. And whenever you think you're better than someone else, then you're nothing that you ought to be. The scripture says, see, when you get to that, to a place you got to, how can you have faith when you're expecting honor one from another? We don't expect it. Shouldn't expect it. But you should be the one giving it. Amen? See, you must prefer one another always. That's the life of Christ. To prefer your brother or your sister. And if they are wrong, that's all right. You'll never make them any better by kicking them around. Put an arm around and pick him up. I like this old-time religion. I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll make a tuxedo seat set by a pair of overalls. And it'll put an arm around one another and call each other brother. That's right. It'll make a calico dress and a silk one come one another, sister. It sure will. It's a gun barrel straight sky blue. And it'll certainly do it. Amen? And that's from Expectation in 61. Brother Branham says, but that fellow wasn't that kind of a fellow. He was a humble man. The main thing was to get Christ to his boy. But you see, a people who take the attitude saying, well, they feel like they'd be preferred before someone else, they don't get nothing from God. When you feel like you should be paid that, you deserve that, you won't get nothing from God. They don't get nothing from God. Those who's willing to sit back, those who's willing to give, prefer one another, brotherly love, sisterly love, that's the one who gets something from God. Amen? And that's from the angel of God in 48. I think this is our last quote. Brother Branham says, I believe that communion is one of the most solemn, sacred, sweetest worships there is in the church service. There was two things left us, three things to do. That's the orders and the ordinance. So many people try to say, we got an original nail, we got a piece of the cross. But there was three things left, the Lord's Supper, baptism, and feet washing. Was the three orders that was left the church before he left. And to me tonight seemed to be a very special time for me as I stood here and just watched. Usually I'm constantly in prayer. But tonight, watching the different families to see some of them families has come here since I was a boy preacher standing here with sawdust floors. And I saw some of them are new. But watching the men come with their little wives and families and see how they prefer one another. And the sacredness of that. how they watch their children, see the little lady in her her hands reach out and think that little hands washed and wiped the tears from the baby's eyes. Amen. Preferring one another. Amen. Kind of a short one. Wanted to keep it shorter than I did last time. But just remember, we're fixing to get into the capstone. It's very, very important. Brotherly kindness, all the way to the bottom of the foundation where it's faith. It's all us being able to take His word and clothe ourselves. We're dressing ourselves. The bride has made herself ready. So you put on brotherly kindness. You put on faith. You put on temperance, peace, all of those things. If you have everything down here, we are the body. The capstone that's here is the head, amen, that controls the body. Amen, it's really good stuff. Brothers, if you would come, we'll go ahead and change the order of the service for communion.